question was asked, we learned that when Rebecca passed the house of worship of Hashem, Yaakov tried to run out when she passed Beis Avodah Zarah. Esav would try to go out. So did Esav have a potential to be good? Did Yaakov have a potential to be bad? So the Torah says, Rei natati lefanecha hayom et hachaim ve'et hatov ve'et hamavet ve'et hara. Behold, I've given before you today life and that which is good, and death and that which is evil. Uvacharta b'chaim, choose life. Okay, pro-life. So the Torah gives you a very clear answer. Choose life. From this verse, we learn the basic concept of b'chira chofshit, that man has free choice. The Rambam, Maimonides, in his introduction to his commentary on Pirkei Avot, that tractate which discusses how we're supposed to perfect our trades, the Rambam tells us there's a very basic concept in Judaism, the concept of b'chira chofshit, the concept which says that a Jew has a choice, that a human being has a choice, what type of person he will be. So we are not predetermined, but that does not mean we are not predisposed. There were those philosophers who said that a baby that's born is tabula rasa, clear slate. Now you could write on it whatever you want. We don't say that. You'll see with your own children that children are predisposed. There's the child that has a temper. There's a child that is more giving. There is a child that is more aloof. He has no idea what's going on around him. Children are predisposed to certain temperaments, but they're not predetermined. The key which we espouse in Judaism is that we have free choice and we can develop, we can change. So the Talmud says there are those who are predisposed to being murderers. They can become butchers. They have it within them, this desire for blood. They could also become moels. I'm a moel, so I said a butcher. Talmud says both. But who knows? The Talmud says both. They could also be bloodletters. The idea is they have a tendency to connect with seeing blood, so they can do that in a positive way. So we say, even though a person has a predisposition, they're not predetermined, it's up to us to channel those strengths. Our sages say that Esav could have and should have channeled his strengths in a different direction. David HaMelech, it seems, had very similar predispositions to Esav. That's why when Shmuel sees David, Shmuel's first thought is, that's Esav. Both are described as Admoni. They both had a very red skin. And in fact, David HaMelech used his talents to kill Hashem's enemies, to fight the wars on behalf of Hashem. And that's what Hashem answers him. He has Yefei Einayim V'Tov Ro'i. He goes based on the beautiful eyes of the Torah and the Sanhedrin. He won't kill a person unless the Torah tells him that's what he should do. So he's not the Esav. And Esav had free choice. He had a choice where to take his strength. So then we have to come back to Rashi and say, wait a second. But the verse clearly states that Esav was predisposed for paganism, right? He's attracted, but he's not predetermined. So then why was he predisposed? So to answer this, we really have to learn a long piece in the Drashot Aran, which we actually did learn. It's recorded. It's online. The Aran has a speech. I think it's the sixth speech, but I'm not sure. The Ran has a piece, we could look it up at the end of class, on Esav and Yaakov. And in a nutshell, the idea, he says, is that Hashem did create two forces in the world. And the idea of their having this quarrel, debate, fight in utero was to indicate that this is part of Hashem's plan for the world, to have two opposing forces. Now, did those two opposing forces have to come out the way they did? No. That was Esav's choice. And Yaakov's choice. Correct. Even though that deserves a broader discussion. But yeah. The simple understanding is it was Yaakov's choice. Correct. Yeah. So that's in a nutshell. The world could have played itself out differently. And you see that Yitzchak thought the world should play itself out differently. And Yitzchak wants to give Esav the blessings because he sees in Esav a future, because he doesn't see the evil of Esav. He sees the activism, he sees his talent in the worldly things, and he figures there can be a partnership between him and Yaakov, and they could conquer the world for good. They can use their strengths and benefit the whole world. He doesn't see the evil of Esav. Afterwards, when Yaakov walks in and he says, he says, wait a second, this person smells like God's garden. And then Esav walks in and he says, what's going on here? I sense the exact opposite. Suddenly he realizes, okay, things are not what I thought they were. Yaakov isn't what I thought Yaakov was, and Esav isn't what I thought Esav was. And then things come to a clearer realization. But the potential was there. Potential for a better world. And Daniel also pointed out a very beautiful medrash that says that even after all the evil that Esav did, there was potential for Esav to do tshuva had he married Dinah. So you see that there was potential. And our sages tell us that Esav had a granddaughter who wanted to come close to Avraham Avinu. A very, very problematic granddaughter. But ultimately, I mean, she came from incest and whatever. She had a very problematic ichus. But Avraham Avinu didn't let her in. And so she went and had Amalek. Amalek stemmed from a refusal to give Esav a footing in the Jewish heritage, in the Jewish building. Timnah. I guess it happened before that Timnah came. Right.